So, yeah, her nice sister. So, American Capitalist allergies. Is this keeping us my ass? Yes, it is.
He said he might be. He might make this afternoon. If he doesn't, I think we'll cancel.
I'm also called it.
I've got nine.
Okay.
Let's call this meeting to order. This is Tuesday, September 27th, 2016, meeting of the Johns County Board of Supervisors. And this is secondary roads tour. We're going to be in the van, driving around and looking at a variety of roads and bridges and projects. So, do you want us to just recess until
we
get in there
at
and arrive at a project?
Okay.
All right, we'll do.
We have to talk about the weather and stuff.
Yep. All right, yeah, Kevin, you want to tell us what's happening here?
Sure. We're on Sioux Avenue, and this is part of our maintenance rehabilitation program, one of the roads. We've done a segment just north of here from Osage up to Highway 6, and now we're just continuing this down to Napoleon. So the employees here are getting some pipes redone. They're actually kind of some old cement boxes that have probably been in there since the 30s, 40s. They're undersized, and we're just putting poly-coated pipes in, and then we'll come through with the macadam stone over top, and we'll scare fire the road up, clean the ditches, and regrade it all the way down to the Napoleon. So,
hey, Kevin, we passed a new piece of equipment that we just acquired, track hoe. Do you want to talk about the energy savings and fuel savings and tier compliance that we've made by purchasing that?
Yeah, so that's our... We have an excavator that's a size bigger than that one, but that's our CX210 is what it's called. I think it's a 52,000 pound machine. It is equipped with a tier 4 fuel emission, so essentially you could start that up in the new shop like our trucks, and it won't even turn the gas exhaust system on. That's how clean they burn. And it is more efficient. Number-wise, I'm not sure, but it burns less fuel than the old one by quite a bit.
And the other nice thing is the noise.
Yeah, and it's a lot quieter. Matter of fact, when we first purchased it, the guy gets in it to start it up and thinks it wasn't running right because it's so quiet. It's just, it's got more horsepower, but it's not that real loud running. So,
now, what was the length of the MRP here, the old?
Can you read that for footage?
Which one do you want first? We got
it. Probably it's a true mile, I think, down to Napoleon from Osage. And then what we're driving on now was done a couple years back.
Right.
It's kind of been broken up, and this will be the third segment.
And how have you felt like this segment has held up?
Real good, real good. It's keeping it shape, keeping the crown, so that way down the road, if somebody, whether it be us or the city down the road, whatever happens with it, wants to seal coat it, it'll make a good seal coat road. From right here up to Highway 6, we did this spring. There was a narrow box, and the water would jump the road quite a bit, so we put a precast concrete box. It was actually 8 pieces of precast box. It's an 8-foot by 6-foot box. If we wanted to,
it's got some squash growing here.
Have a look at it.
Hey, Mike, you wouldn't mind turning some air circulation on back in the place?
Wow. A
little bit of air back there.
So what'd you do here?
Yeah, so we're sitting on top of it. It's an 8x6 precast culvert that we put in. Our crews did it. We had to rent a crane company to come in and set the pieces, but we tore out the old structure the day before, got the hole ready, and put it in. So in 2 days, we had the road closed, but we gave the residents down through here notification that we would be impacting it. But now the water won't jump the road here, hopefully, ever again, and it's wider, and it'll last hopefully 100 years.
Do we typically do anything when we got something like this? Do we ever put like reflectors or anything up so that folks have some idea when it's there?
Like a delineator?
Yeah, if it's tapered out, I think the rule of thumb is 2-to-1 off the side slope. And, you know, if we get that, we're okay without that.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we try to flatten the slope as best we can within the existing right-of-way that we have.
Right.
And we also try to accommodate all the flows that are coming from either side of the ditch and off the private property to accommodate the flow to go through the roadway. And you're right, if it is less than a specific percent, which means a 2-to-1 slope is something that a car is not going to recover, but we should be able to go off the edge of the road and it shouldn't roll. If it's less than that, then you get into the rolling capabilities, which is not good.
Which you want to avoid.
Right.
And a lot of those spots have like head walls on them, you know, that stick up, and so we can mark them for snow wings and then cars, yeah, into the mowers and things. So we hope to have this done next week. We'll be doing the macadam and choke on it, weather pending. So.
All right, where are we headed next?
Taft Avenue.
Taft Avenue, the wood bridge that was put in.
Okay.
This summer.
Anybody got anything else, or should we recess until we get up there? All right, let's recess until we get up to Taft.
Brad, you want
to? Sure. This is the Taft Avenue bridge that we did this spring. The previous bridge was a steel beam and concrete deck structure. The actual barrier rails were just pieces of dimensioned lumber. So, I mean, it maybe would keep a bicycle on the road, but definitely not traffic. So it was in desperate need of replacement. And it's a timber structure, so we've built a handful of those now, and we found those to be very cost effective and still give a good return on that investment over years of life. We started this in April, and actually it was all completed and back open in only 5 weeks. And yeah, that's really about what's involved with this.
And the total cost of one of these has been?
This one was $160,000.
Okay.
We had thought about a culvert, but you know, by putting a culvert in and grading out those four slopes, it would actually required us to buy additional right-of-way for the project, whereas this bridge we were able to complete within our existing right-of-way, so real nice option for this location, 60 vehicles per day.
And the width of the structure is a complement to the traveling vehicles that drive on this. So the other structure was
wide
and narrow. Right. And we, you know, this will accommodate at least 2 lanes of traffic, obviously.
Any other questions for Rob? Or?
Okay.
Okay, so now we're getting to the part of Wapsie Avenue that we did this summer. We're south of Lone Tree, and we paved from 660th Street, which we just went past here, all the way down 2.7 miles down to the county line. The old roadway, each lane was 11 foot wide, and the last time we had done something kind of substantial with it was we did an overlay back in, well, 28 years ago, back in 88. So it's lasted a while, and besides doing some crack sealing and other maintenance things like that, so it was due for some work to it. And first of all, we went and some of those bad dips that you kind of, well, like the thermal cracking was one thing on this that we improved first, was we went and we patched those, which are those cracks that go all the way across the roadway. We patched those, and then we widened this roadway on each side of the road an extra 2 foot of width, and then there's 4 inches of overlay on top of all this. So now we have a 13 foot lane and an additional 4 inches of HMA up over it.
Is it what is that, a foot of paved shoulder and then 2 foot of gravel?
We striped it back at 11 feet, so it's, you know, it's about 2 foot, you know, plus or minus a little bit over there of the paved shoulder. And then the gravel shoulder does go out an extra 4 feet by the time you get to the edge of like where that drop off kind of is. So yeah, this project is set up. Now we have adequate thickness that we're set up in a situation where we could, this would make a good project to do kind of a recycling where we can reuse a lot of this material the next time that we decide to overlay it or cold in place.
Okay.
And on the inside of the curves here, we widened the, on the left side there was the inside curve, we widened it an extra 2 feet just for like vehicle tracking, so it doesn't wear the edge of the pavement away.
One of the items that the board has asked our, you know, secondaries to look at is sustainability and using green initiatives on our projects for future evaluations and future construction. So we didn't, I mean, as part of this project right now, we're planning for the future to reuse and recycle the material back into it at the time in the future when we have to come back in and repair this road or re-overlay it. So we can mill material out and then put it back into the road surface and reuse the material that we have here.
I see what you mean about the inside being that being wider, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
By widening the inside of the curves that we had back there, Kevin, you probably like that. I like it because it keeps our maintenance people from having to continually repair shoulder drop-offs. And, I mean, we still are going to have to repair it, but not as much as we would have without that additional width.
And you get a little additional bonus just from the standpoint of safety. On the inside of the curves, people are off tracking. If people make a little bit of a mistake, there's a little bit of more room for error that way too. We did this on Sutliff Road as well last year, and it's been working out really well for us.
And this was one project where we did have, where some of the funding was some of that 10-cent fuel tax increase that we saw last year.
You guys see the sign?
You'll see that we do have the sign up there. Yeah. Just pointing that out, that this was one of those projects where some of those funds went into play here.
Nice.
L.L. Pelling was the contractor for this project.
Final construction cost was about $953,000.
How many miles total? 2.7?
2.7.
Size of the site.
Good cat.
I don't think Pat can hear
a little bit of salt and sand storage there.
Might have to just jump out.
That's not here today, is it?
Yeah, that's not your pet cat.
I don't know where he is. Anybody, you want to look inside? Oh, it's unlocked. It must be here. Are we good?
Good.
But the area that this building covers and who all reports down here?
Yeah, I mean, this is district, well, part of District 1, which it encompasses Lone Tree, obviously, and then what we call the Byertown Shed, which is just west of Hills, about 3 miles. So District 1 is the southeast quadrant. We have two sheds, but just one employee runs a maintainer out of this shop, and then in the winter time we have another employee that runs a snowplow out of this shed also. So it's actually, yeah, miles wise, District 1 is the most, has the most miles, most gravel miles. So there's more area to cover, but there's less traffic down here.
Kevin, you want
to? You know what the makeup of? All right, okay. We're on Upper Highway 6. It's probably been 4 years now. We put a new asphalt surface over the old, what was this, concrete?
Yeah.
And so what it is, it's just kind of, it's called GSB, and we had a company come in. It's just kind of preserves the asphalt surface itself. I'm not sure what the makeup is. Maybe somebody back here's.
It's like it's similar to a penetrating oil. It kind of gets in there, rejuvenates the surface material a little bit. Asphalt oxidizes basically from the top down. So the sun, air, you'll see, you notice when you first put your blacktop driveway down, it's black. And then over the years, it turns kind of white. That's the oxidizing. So it's losing its oil content over the years. So this is a preservative that they apply to the top. And you kind of see, like, these folks that have their driveways, they seal them every year. And I think individuals do that all the time. This is similar. Hopefully this just allows this newer asphalt that we have placed out here 3-4 years ago to just last that much longer. It just rejuvenates that top layer, prevents that oxidation, prevents the cracking. So it's just another tool that we can use to extend the life of our pavements.
Did you just do this recently?
About 3 or 4 years ago, we did something pretty similar to what you saw in Wapsie this morning.
It's so black right now, though.
Preservative was added about a month ago.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
It was not this black earlier this summer.
Rule of thumb is, you could put it on a brand new surface, but it's typically after 2 or 3 or 4 year old surface.
And maybe, can you guys talk a little bit about, one of the real challenges we had here was the right-of-way standards are a lot different now than when this was first paved. So how we dealt with that?
This project, we widened it. It was an 18-foot wide road. The edges of the road had worn off to the point where there was no longer even 18 feet left. So we did the board was able to help us secure some funding for it and prioritize it. We did a project to widen it, so we put, say 2 or 3 feet on the edges in order to get it out to at least a 24-foot lane. We striped it 11, and the biggest problem we have is that our safety standards and our road standards that we follow require such a large top width based on your traffic volume that sometimes we run into right-of-way issues where we have to purchase right-of-way from the folks next door, and they don't always want to give it up. So in this case, we were able to squeeze it in there. I think we have a 28-foot top. We widened the inside of the curves of this one as well, like we did with the Sutliff and Wapsie projects. And it's actually turned out really well. We've gotten some really good feedback on this project. Hopefully the GSB product we put on this summer will let it last just that much longer.
The GSB product that was put down is a proprietary oil product that is provided by one contractor or applicator, and we have been somewhat reluctant to use the material. We've talked to several of our neighboring county engineers who have given positive responses on increasing the longevity of the surface. So this is really the first project that we've done with it, and we are going to monitor it and see if it is cost effective for us, and maybe consider other locations. Again, like everything we do, it's a tool on your tool belt, and it may be a product that would be a good option when we evaluate trying to preserve our surfaces. So we're going to monitor that and see how it goes. We also did the main parking lot north of our main office with this. They came in and did it. We didn't shoot the south side or the north side, but we did the south side.
Okay.
So that'll be another indicator.
You'll be able to compare.
Right. Exactly. So we're one of the goals of the board was to look at different surfacing preservation options for paving. Because obviously we don't have enough funds to get all of our projects done all at once. And we're trying to preserve and extend the life of those as long as we can, at least until we get to a time when we can do some rehab or maintenance activities or replacement.
Anything else, anybody? Kevin, you got anything else? Okay.
Yeah, well, it's the best.
I want to
keep it. I like it.
Well, Rob, if we can just talk a little bit here and then we can stay together as a group.
Yeah.
Certainly the main thing is safety, because we do have contractors working out here. Watch where you're stepping. Be very cautious. Look at your surroundings. Make sure that you don't see a moving vehicle. If you do, just eyes, ears. Please, thank you. So
we're starting our fourth week of construction already, and we've been fortunate enough to build out 15 or 16 working days. So the weather has been spot on for us. They basically completed the bridge deck removal. They had about 15 feet to go yesterday. They've already been pouring parts of the new abutments on the south end. And I believe they're actually getting plywood forms up for the new deck form. I'm not sure how far out they made it to date, but certainly the weather has been fabulous for us so far, and we just hope for more. The DNR, the Corps, has a gas utility company that has these poles with some diverters on the lines that cross the reservoir, so that's why you're seeing this. Up, so we got a lot of other stuff going on at the same time, taking advantage of the road being closed and having a safer work zone. I think they put something in the lines themselves that somehow deter the birds from getting on the lines, conversed with him. you're seeing part of the deck going up, but what you're not seeing yet is we're actually going to cantilever out an additional 3.5 feet on the outside of that. I think we'll have 31 foot clear road surface when we're done. The old one was about 28, so.
Yeah. What, the old one was what?
28.
Okay.
So it'll feel a little bit wider.
The last one was, I mean, this isn't that extremely old. This one is a bar for this classification.
And we had to keep everything this side because of the railroad, correct?
Yeah. Their right of way extends 5 feet off the center of the track. Widening this too much would just be
structurally, you'd have to redo the gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think the capacity of the gear, you know, what it would take. Widening it too much.
3 feet was about what you could do.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
deck was not acting with the beams and they were separated.
Find a good place.
Okay.
Are we going? Yeah. Are we going, Emily?
Yep. Okay. We're good.
This is, we're at Highway 382 and Ely Road. This is a fairly large project for us. It'll be the first roundabout that Johnson County will have installed on any of its roads. As you can see, it's kind of an odd shaped intersection. It's kind of an angled Y. The alignment is poor. We have some crash history at this intersection. For those reasons, safety primarily being the largest one, we chose a roundabout as our recommendation for this intersection. Roundabouts are shown to be reducing injury crashes, fatality crashes. They move traffic much more efficiently than stop signs. The other option for this that the board looked at was a three-way stop. We could have teed in the intersection at more of a 90-degree angle. By doing that, we would have had to take a lot of this farm over here on the north side where the van is facing right now. We didn't really like that option as much. It didn't improve the safety as well as we would have liked it. So the board has given direction that we're going to build a roundabout here. The project is to be constructed. We were hoping to get it yet this fall, but it's not going to, you're not going to make it. We don't have enough good weather left. And one of the owners that we needed to purchase right away from has exercised their right to have their own value finding appraisal done on their property. So we've made an offer. They didn't agree with our offer, and so we're just following procedure and allowing them to exercise their right to get their own appraisal done, and then we'll continue the negotiation process. I don't think I can get too much more in detail about that sort of stuff. But.
Right.
Well, could I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
So once they get their appraisal, then is it just a bargaining thing, or are you obligated to go with the higher of the two, or how does that work?
Actually, I don't have as much experience with the purchasing. Maybe Rob, you can help out.
You can't offer them less than your lowest appraisal by code, but you are obligated to negotiate in good faith.
Okay.
So I think when they show us what they came up with, then you know Ed will evaluate that and try to use some good faith negotiating and hopefully resolve it at that point.
So it's possible that the appraisals could be very close.
You would think they should be.
Yeah.
Or theirs could even be lower.
It could be.
Appraisers have professional standards to live by, and they really don't have an interest in how their numbers come out. So hopefully they are close.
So that's kind of the holdup on this project currently, is that we're waiting to purchase one more parcel of right-of-way. So now we're looking at spring construction on this. During construction, we'll have traffic control set up on Highway 382. West of here, that's a dead end. It goes down to Lake McBride. So in order to maintain traffic, there will be traffic signals out here. Let people in and out. It'll be one lane during construction of the roundabout. Ely Road will be closed during construction, certain phases. But the only thing going that way right now is commuters, and they can get around. We'll have a detour set up and everything. So. And then what should hopefully our next phase will take off from the end of this roundabout construction and go north to 140th Street intersection. And that should just basically tag right onto the end of this project. So with any luck, we'll even possibly get like the same contractor, or maybe they'll work together and they'll do a joint venture or something.
Everybody west of Ely Road here is essentially one long dead end.
Correct. Yeah, so we have to maintain traffic. That's, you know, essential for safety purposes. We got to make sure we get ambulance and firemen there. So we've looked at that, and we've got pretty much final plans. We're just waiting on right-of-way, and as soon as we've accomplished that, we'll be bringing this before the board to formally purchase the right-of-way and to allow us to go out for bid for the project.
Will the detour go to 140th?
Yeah, likely it'll run down to Highway 1 and then up Highway 1 over to 140th and across.
One of the things that, from a letting standpoint, once we have signed contracts, we can't proceed to a construction letting. The formality of approving the purchase is something that we need to have the right of way to complete the construction, obviously. But if we're under a timeline of getting the contract signed for purchase, and once they're signed, the project will be letting. As long as we have all the right of way signed, we're good to go. Green lights.
Anything else? Any board members? Questions?
You don't anticipate any more of resistance from the owners over here after they get their appraisal? Do you think?
I'm not even going to indicate which owners. Just. But no, once we've negotiated as best we can in good faith, I think we'll come to an agreement, and I expect that'll end well. So nobody's been unreasonable. They're just exercising their right to get their own opinion on what the value of the property is. Is
right. And, you know, our goal is to try to, in good faith, negotiate a good. I mean, we want to give the property owner the good faith estimate. But our appraiser has stated that the property is worth this amount. But unfortunately, sometimes it gets to a point where we may have to consider, on some sites, proceeding with condemnation hearings, which is not preferred. That's not what we prefer to do. But for the sake of continuing our program and moving things along without stalling, I guess that's something that, if it does come to that, we're not anticipating that, but if it does, that may be, you know, that is an option that we may have to consider. And you know, Rob's dealing with that on his projects, potentially the right-of-way acquisitions for the IWB road. We're going to be looking at right-of-way acquisition through the Hoosier Highway over to West Branch. So there are lots of complications which are unknown. You know, we think we do an excellent job working with the property owners as best we can within the powers and the laws that are allowed for us to negotiate things, because that's what we follow. But sometimes you get little hitches, and we just try to get things, keep moving along.
Thanks.
Orange ribbons on the trees, are those trees come out, or is that just kind of the line?
Yeah, those trees, right, I'm not sure which ones I'm looking at. I'm sitting at kind of a...
Got like an orange ribbon on them.
Yeah, there's two trees there that we're trying very hard. The property owners requested that we try to save, I think, those two trees. They're currently within a temporary construction easement. That's why you see the lath out there in the flagging. We marked out where our construction limits are so the owner could physically see it on the ground. We've done that for all the property owners out here so that they're well aware of what our project limits are going to be, how they're going to be impacted. You know, we sit down, we discuss everything at length with them to make sure that they're on board and understand you know, what is going to happen, what's not. And I think the two orange ribbons there, I think those are the two trees that they've requested that we try to save. We're working on that with our design consultant for the roundabout. I don't know if we can. I've told the owner that we will do the best we can, and I've given him my word that we'll try. But I did not make any guarantees, because it may not be possible to save them if we have to get close to them. The other thing that's complicated on this project, this is a pretty massive undertaking from a permit standpoint. The next phase and going down, and even part of this one, kind of gets into core ground, Corps of Engineers, DNR property. So we're getting permits from the DNR, the Corps, U.S. Fish and Wildlife. It's right now we're out for federal review. This project is in the Federal Register, open for comments to the public anywhere in the country. And when that review period is over, then the Corps and the different agencies will get back to us with any comments, and we may have to address and make changes to our designs at that point. So we're in that iterative, trying to complete this process and get our borrow areas selected, and we have all kinds of threatened endangered species, and so we have plants, we have a butterfly, and I think we've got a snake that's just made the list. I was informed that there's some kind of a rattlesnake that's on the endangered list. So, or it's not on the endangered list, but it's on the soon to be endangered list or something. Well, see that, and that's right. Part of the problem. It's not even threatened, and they don't even have any record of that rattlesnake ever being here. But there's habitat that's suitable for that snake to live in here, and so they have to. That's part of the federal regulations, that if we're going to impact that we evaluate that carefully before we do it. So
there's not a rattlesnake.
As far as we know,
the conditions are right for them.
Yeah.
But are rattlesnakes even native to Iowa?
Sure. Certain rattlesnakes are native to Iowa, especially the eastern part over by the river.
Huh. I wish I didn't know that.
I don't like snakes either.
I would say it's endangered if it's anywhere near me.
Well, they're okay.
Anybody else?
Any other questions? Anybody? Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll be back in session then. We're at Sutliff and watching the river flow here. Because we're down two supervisors anyway, we're going to cancel the afternoon meeting today. So I guess the question is, what does the group want to do? You want to stay here and grab a bite to eat and then go back into town, or does anybody have to get back sooner than that?
I vote for eating.
Oh, please.
You know you're hungry.
That sound all right to everybody?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and recess and go in.